All right, welcome back to A View from the Couch. I am Rich.
I am Jen.
And we are starting a new arc this week. We're starting Yes, I love new arcs. New arcs are always fun because it just provides us an opportunity to watch a whole new set of things and talk more trash about them. Well, me anyway, but this arc is called the Wild Wild West arc. And it's actually an arc of neo-Western films. Jen, what are the movies that we're going to be talking about?
In this arc, we are going to cover Those Who Wish Me Dead, No Country for Old Men, and Hell or High Water.
Yes. Okay. And there's actually a connection between Hell or High Water and Those Who Wish Me Dead, which is the movie that we're talking about today. The screenwriter for Hell or High Water is actually the director of this movie. Jen, why don't you... Well, we're not going to do today, guys. We're not going to do, have you seen this movie before? Because this movie literally just came out like last week or something like that. And so, you know, give or take, there's probably very little chance that either of us saw this movie before this. But right. So we're just going to jump right into the cast and crew. Jen, take it away.
All right. This movie was directed by Taylor Sheridan. Mm-hmm. It was written by Michael Corita, Charles Leavitt, or Leavitt, however you want to say that, and Taylor Sheridan. This movie stars Angelina Jolie as Hannah, Finn Little as Connor. John Bernthal is reprising his role as Shane Walsh from Walking Dead. He plays Ethan in this movie. We have Aidan Gillen playing Jack. Yep. Nicholas Holt is playing Patrick. Jake Weber as Owen. Medina Singer as Allison. And Tyler Perry as Arthur.
That's who that was.
Tyler Perry?
Yeah, I could not place the obviously I don't watch a lot of Tyler Perry movies, otherwise I probably would have. But when he shows up, I thought, who the hell is that? He looks so familiar. I didn't bother looking it up. I figured I'd get the surprise when you and I talked about it. So I have a summary that jump into. It's a little long-winded, but so is this movie, so get ready. Smokejumper Hannah struggles with her decisions as a lead firefighter. Her first assignment got three young campers killed when she misjudged the wind. She's now assigned to lookout tower duty as she grapples with her demons. Meanwhile, widowed forensic accountant Owen Casterly discovers that his boss has been killed in a gas explosion that was ruled an accident. But Owen knows better. His boss was killed by hitmen of the notorious crime boss, Arthur Phillip. Owen surmises that he will be the next target. See, Owen has secrets that he writes down on a piece of paper, and he gives the paper to his young son. If anything happens to Owen, the son, Connor, is to take the note to the media. Owen's brother-in-law, Ethan, happens to be a deputy in the same town that Hannah is a smoke jumper, and Owen and Connor make a break for Montana to hold up with Ethan. They are intercepted at the last minute by Jack and Patrick Blackwell, the hitmen who killed Owen's boss. The hitmen kill Owen, crashing his car, but Connor escapes into the woods. The Blackwells start a forest fire to distract the authorities as they hunt for and attempt to kill Connor. Their first stop is Ethan's house, where they take Ethan's pregnant wife hostage and attempt to get her to have him, meaning Ethan, tell them where Connor is. She fights off the Blackwells and escapes into the woods. Hannah finds Connor and tries to help him get to safety, but is struck by lightning along the way, forcing her and Connor to take refuge in the lookout tower. The Blackwells take Ethan prisoner when he comes home and force him to guide them through the woods to Hannah's tower. The Blackwells send Ethan up the tower to search it, only to discover that he is speaking to someone, so they open fire on the tower. Ethan is wounded as Hannah and Connor escape as Ethan's wife Allison arrives with a gun. Patrick pursues Hannah and Connor while Jack attempts to kill Allison, but he is no match for her sharpshooting skills, and she kills him and climbs the tower to be with Ethan as the fire looms closer. Hannah subdues Patrick with a claw hammer with help from Connor, and the two try to outrun the fire, but find themselves trapped. Luckily, Connor knows how to swim, and the pair jumps into a nearby lake to protect themselves just as the fire passes over them. The next morning, the fire has burned itself out, and Hannah promises Connor that she will help find him a new home as the boy prepares to give, oh yeah, that letter to the media. So there we have it. Those who wish for this movie to have a better plot. I did a little research on this, and the movie is based on a book written by one of the screenwriters, Michael Chiarda. And the plot for the book goes like this. After Indiana teenager Jace Wilson witnesses a murder, his parents cannot put him into witness protection because the killers have connections to law enforcement. So they must trust Jace's safety to Ethan and Allison Serban, a couple who run a wilderness survival program for troubled kids in Montana. The murderers, Jack and Patrick Blackwell, track Jace, now using the name Connor Reynolds, into the mountainous region. When he realizes they're closing in, Ethan and Jace take off into the wilderness as a forest fire rages and a fierce electrical storm approaches. Connor meets Hannah Faber, a former smoke jumper who is now a lookout in an isolated tower. Having failed to save a young boy previously, Hannah vows to keep him safe. So, not quite the same, but kind of the same. I don't know. What's the difference? Like, okay, so why did they change that? Why would you change the kid seeing a murder and having to be protected to the kid having a mystery note from his dad that we never get to see? What's this evidence? What is this information that he has? They never once mention it, and it never gets revealed at the end. That is my biggest problem with this. That's the MacGuffin. That's the whole reason that he's even on the run, is that he has this information. That's why dad took him on the run. That's why Connor's on the run when dad dies. That's why Connor goes to the media, because he has some information and we don't know what it is.
Well, we know that it is incriminating to the people that are, you know, hiring these hitmen for him.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's important that we know exactly what it says or what it is.
I don't think
that's part of the plot line, though. I don't know if it's integral to what happens in the story. I just don't think that what it says matters.
Okay, but the dad makes such a big deal out of it, and the movie makes a big deal out of the dad writing it all down, making sure the kid has the note, blah blah blah, right?
Mm-hmm.
They make it a bigger deal than it is.
Sure.
And so, also, if you're going to make it a big deal and then not tell us what it is, you failed as a storyteller. That's what I think. At the end of Seven, and I'm going to spoil the end of Seven here, guys. At the end of Seven, they don't just not tell you what's in the box. They tell you that it's Gwyneth Paltrow's head, right? That's all I'm saying.
So I think another reason why they might have changed it from the book is to maybe give more sympathy to the kid that, you know, he watched his dad die. And now who do you trust? Because he doesn't know any of these people,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could be why they spun it that way. I don't know. I'm just saying maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, I think changing Ethan and Allison from being wilderness survival trainers to a cop and his wife is a mistake, because let's face it, it would explain a lot of why she's such a crack shot. Right?
But I thought that wasn't that the picture that they were at a survival camp? I thought that's what was the picture with those two and the dad and the kid. And that's what drew the guys to them. Cause I thought the sign said something like survival camp or something like that.
Hmm.
I thought it was.
So it was only alluded to. So like maybe that does explain, or that does explain why she would be better at it, but it doesn't really give like the full story about any of this. I guess it's really inconsequential if there's that picture. And I'm mistaken. How did you feel about Angelina Jolie in this role?
I don't know. She's really hit and miss for me. Some stuff I think she's decent in, and other stuff I don't know. I think they just throw her in there because her name's Angelina Jolie, but, and I feel like this might be one of those. I don't know.
Yeah. She didn't fit this description at all, really, to me. Like, I don't buy her in this role. Like, she played Lara Croft in Tomb Raider, and I didn't really buy her in that either. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know what it is about Angelina Jolie. I just don't buy her as an action star, although that's really what she kind of cut her teeth on, right? That's what she's known for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think for me, it was kind of more not so much the action stuff. I thought that was all right, but kind of where she was by herself and like reflecting on the fire and the kids dying and stuff. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it was just the way she was portraying that, you know, that maybe I felt like it felt a little off.
Yeah. This movie felt a little bit like Commando, where like people were getting picked off, and then the like the last surviving of them had to like fend off the people, or fend off the people that were picking people off. But it that only went like, that was like one of my first notes in that, you know, like, oh, the hitmen are like picking off people like the forensic accountant, which I don't get it. I don't get why they changed that story. Do you know what I mean? Like, I see where you're coming from, but to me, you know exactly why they're after him in the book, according to that plot.
I would agree.
What makes them what makes them think that Connor has anything on them?
Right. They don't know. They're just assuming that dad told the kid. And I would wonder too, why would dad tell kid? I mean, dad would knowingly be putting the kid at risk.
Yes.
As a dad, would you really do that?
Hell no. No, I would never do that.
But they make that automatic assumption that dad told kid.
Right.
I mean, it'd be different if he was an adult kid, but I mean, this little kid.
Well, if he's a teenager and he witnesses a murder, that is one thing entirely different, right? That's something completely different. Maybe they were trying to veer away from like witness, where there's the kid that witnesses the murder and then he has to go and hide among the Amish people. But like, that movie is so old at this point. Why would you even bother trying to veer away from that? I mean, it's people. Have you seen Witness? Do you remember that movie?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. See, you don't even remember that movie. Nobody remembers Witness anymore. Why are you veering away from it? That's because that's what I thought of when I read the plot for the book.
You know, another thing they might have changed for too is maybe they were trying to get Angelina Jolie's character in here more, where if they would have gone with the other storyline, you would have had John Bernthal and Medina. Those two had been like the main rescue characters.
Right.
So maybe that's part of it. I mean, maybe. I'm just speculating again, so who knows?
Maybe. I don't know. This movie just didn't sit real well with me. And a big part for me is they spend like the whole beginning of this movie, like the beginning of the first act, they're just introducing everybody, right? And they introduce like these badass smoke jumpers who are like, oh man, we jump into fires and we do all this badass stuff and blah, 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 right? They spent all that time at the beginning of the first act just illustrating how Angelina Jolie's crew was so awesome. And all they did was show up at the end.
Yeah.
That's literally all they did. They're like, oh, do you want a Band-Aid, buddy? Here you go. It's like,
I was waiting for them at, you know, when they were like running and, you know, running from the fire and stuff. I was like, okay, where are they coming? Where are they coming? Because I was anticipating the same thing.
Right.
That, okay, they're going to come in here and somehow help save the day or potentially get injured themselves, type of thing.
Maybe save John Bernthal and his wife, right? Allison and Ethan, right? Save them, right? Because he even says that the planes will be here soon. They'll have the planes up in the air soon, right? Why aren't the planes in the air? Where are these guys? All this time, there's smoke jumpers and they're not even fighting this fire. Nobody's doing anything to stop this fire.
Yeah, you don't see any firefighters anywhere.
No, not until the end. And then they're just putting little Band-Aids on boo-boos.
Yeah.
You got a boo-boo, buddy? Here you go. I'll kiss it, make it better. Mwah.
Can I go back to the letter that the dad wrote for?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
So I would like to know what kind of magic paper this was written on, because that magic paper survived fire.
Oh, yeah.
It also survived sitting in a lake water for what? 12 hours? 8 hours? I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking, you put a paper in your pocket and you're sitting in a lake like that, that thing's going to be mush.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Maybe he put it in a baggie, but we never see him put it in a baggie. So that's another little thing that's kind of, and we're being a little nitpicky here, but I think this movie kind of deserves it, honestly. I feel like there could have been a little bit more, I don't know, a little bit more like tension in this movie. And I felt no tension in this movie. And I think it's Angelina Jolie's fault.
I actually did in the beginning scene where they are fighting that fire and the wind shifts and that guy catches on fire and there's the kids out there. So it's before she wakes up. This is obviously when she was dreaming about this and remembering this. I was like, oh my gosh, that would be so terrifying. So that part there, I was tense, but yeah, I agree. The rest of it was kind of, yeah, I knew the kid was going to get away. I mean, I knew the dad was going to die. I knew the kid was going to get away. The other characters they didn't spend enough time with for me to care if they lived or died.
No, they really,
you know,
didn't,
other than the pregnant woman. And I think that was because she was a pregnant woman, but I did like her character, because I thought that's cool. Like, she is the sharpshooter, mm-hmm. getting the bad guys, not Ethan, you know?
Right. Yeah. That was pretty cool how they kind of decommissioned him and she went in straight into action. I like that. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to give this movie any credit, I'll give it credit for some positive gender politics. How about that? But I don't know which script writer that is. I don't know if that's in the book or not. I'm guessing it is, because they're both characters in the book are survivalists, and they're teaching survival to troubled kids, right? I kind of want to read the book to see like the main differences. Like, I mean, you can get only so much from like a paragraph and a half on, you know, Wikipedia or whatever, you know?
Right. My guess is the book is probably better.
Book is usually better, isn't it?
Yep, it usually is. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say always, but usually.
Yeah, sometimes the movie's better. Name one time when the movie was better. Do you have anything? Like anything off the top of your head?
No, nothing off the top of my head.
Okay. The lightning effects were absolutely horrible. The lightning effects were really bad. I don't know how much of this budget went to the lightning effects or any of the effects, honestly, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. They needed to put more money into the lightning. Guys, we need to put more money in the lightning. Let's just redo it. We'll do it over. Start it from scratch. And I did a little more research. I already said that, but I did a little more research about how fast fire can travel. And fire can travel about 6 miles an hour. And the average human foot speed is 5.9 miles per hour for a female. So this was actually accurate, because when they were running from that fire, I was like, get the hell out of here. I kept thinking of like Marky Mark running from the wind and Jake Gyllenhaal running from the cold. And I was put in my place, because that is true. The fire could catch up that fast. It can get even faster than that, apparently, if there's wind at its back. Sure. If fire has a back, but you know what I mean? Like, it can travel in the right conditions. It can travel at 6 miles an hour. And so it was accurate. It was accurate. I stand corrected. But Marky Mark and Jake Gyllenhaal, no, guys, you can't run from the cold and you can't run from the wind. I hate to break it to you. Sorry, M. Night. Not that sorry, because, you know, the thing that really burned me is the fact that we don't even get to know what the hell this was all about, because without the information, were they investigating the guy? Is that what was going on? They were investigating the guy, or did they just stumble across something? Is this just an accident, just a happenstance that they found some crucial information? The dad in the beginning and his boss, right? Like,
well, he said he was working on stuff and he came across information and they reported it. I'm guessing that's the shorthand version that he gave to his kid, because he's not going to tell his kid all the nitty gritty details of what was found and how they did it.
No, but what you could do is at the very end of the movies, you could have the news report. They could say, oh, they found out blah, 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 or whatever, right? Tell us what was on the goddamn note.
Oh. That note really bothers you more than it bothers
me. Oh man, it bothers me because it does. It bothers me because it's the whole thing. It sets the whole thing in motion, right?
Mm-hmm.
The note and the dad are what sets this whole thing in motion. The hitmen are coming to get the dad, or assumed to be coming to get the dad, which turns out to be correct. The dad's just like, oh crap, they're gonna come get me. He sees an explosion at his boss's house, and he just jumps to the conclusion that, oh, I'm in trouble now too, so I gotta go. We're
but
gonna
he
write
must
it all
know
out.
These guys, he must know that, you know, that's probably what's gonna happen. I believe that. I buy that stuff. I am okay with that part of the story.
It's a leap of logic that I just can't. I don't know. Also, there's at one point somebody says something like, you can trust me, or something like that. Like Angelina Jolie, I think, says to him, you can trust me, right? Like when he is like running away from her at the beginning, right? Or not at the beginning, when she first sees him, he runs away because he's like, I don't know if I can trust you. And she's like, look, you can trust me. And he goes, and I think to myself, that sounds exactly like something that someone you can't trust would say.
I thought the exact same thing.
What? Why would that kid go with her? Obviously, because she's Angelina Jolie. So, you know.
Where else is he going to go?
Keep running. Try and get to the brother-in-law's place.
Yeah, that's true.
He might have had a better like time of it there, right? Because I don't think the brother-in-law lived in the woods.
He didn't live in the woods? Are I don't you know, sure? Did
he? I'm pretty yeah. sure he didn't. No, because they get him to lead him into the woods.
Right, but they're not in town. They go like walk right from their cabin into the woods. I think they're out in the country.
Okay, maybe. But still. I don't know. This whole movie just rubbed me the wrong way. Rubbed me the wrong way. And which is sad because is it Taylor Sheridan is the writer of one of the other movies in this series that we're doing, Hell or High Water. And I love that movie. That movie is really well written. It is sharp as a tack. And this movie is as dull as, I don't know, the side of a door. It's just not, it just doesn't have, it's missing something. Something is missing from this movie. Did you like this movie? Oh, wait, we shouldn't even do that yet, right?
No.
Because you're going to give me trivia tidbits.
Yes.
What do you got?
All right. So I've got a few trivia things, not very many. This is a new movie, so there's not a whole lot out there yet. But I watched a couple behind the scenes things and I did a little bit of research. One of the things I found was for the fires, they built a 300-acre forest in the middle of the desert to create the fire scenes. So Dang. The fire scenes are actual fire that they had going on in there.
They planted trees just to burn them down?
Yep. They made a forest.
Hmm.
Okay. In the middle of the desert. I'm sure with it being in the middle of the desert, you didn't have any risk of it going elsewhere.
Yeah.
So they did burn it down.
Hmm.
One of the things I thought was kind of, I don't know, it seems like something Angelina Jolie would say, but when she said it, they were interviewing her and she has this quote, and I want to read it because I thought, what?
That is so Angelina Jolie, right?
Yes.
Let's hear it.
This is her quote.
Okay.
About the movie. Very few filmmakers and films that tell a beautiful, meaningful story also have grit and soul.
She watching the same movie?
I was like, all right, okay. Anyways, I thought I'd share because I thought you'd find that amusing.
Man, she's out there. She is out there. You got anything else?
The last thing I want to talk about is the lightning scene where they're running through the field and then squatting and then get up, run, squat, get up. I'm like, does that actually work? Now, I can't find anything that definitively said yes or no, but what I did find makes it sound like probably not. What they said is if you're far from a car building on a long run or something like that, squatting should only be used in desperation because it's fairly insignificant in reducing your risk of being struck by lightning. I went to another site and it brought me up this OSHA fact sheet.
Cool.
So this is from OSHA itself.
Nice.
If you find yourself caught outside during a thunderstorm, there may be nothing you can do to prevent being struck by lightning. There simply is no safe place outside in a thunderstorm. Lightning is likely to strike the tallest objects in a given area. You should not be the tallest object. Avoid open areas such as fields and never lie flat on the ground. Their recommendation is as soon as you hear there's going to be lightning, you need to get yourself where you're indoors or inside of a car or something like that. Because if you're outside, you could be in trouble that you just want to make sure you're not the tallest thing out in an open field.
Right. Why not laying down? I don't understand. If you're trying to make yourself not as tall, laying down.
I thought
probably
that was weird too,
thing.
But it says never lie flat on the ground. So I don't know if the lightning would strike the ground, if the current would go into you possibly too. I have no idea. It didn't elaborate, but I was just thought I'd share with everybody in case you find yourself out in a field and a lightning storm happens.
Well, let's get the National Weather Service on the phone because I need to know. I have a thing I wanted to point out. They say something like it's going to be 6.5 hours with traffic to Fort Lauderdale from Jacksonville or to Jacksonville from Fort Lauderdale, right? Jacksonville is only 4.5 hours from Fort Lauderdale. 2 hours of traffic?
Where are they hitting traffic at there?
I don't know on the one. That's weird. I mean, there, I guess there is traffic, but I mean, yeah. You get on 95, it's not going to be that bad, right? It's not like you're going through Orlando or through Miami or something. You're going from Fort right. Lauderdale to Jacksonville. And why were they so specific with the time? I don't understand.
I don't either, because that really didn't play into anything.
It didn't play into anything anyway. It's like all these little things that get dropped and then they don't. And all the people were kind of unlikable, with the exception of like the deputy and his wife. Those guys were kind of likable, and the kid was kind of likable. Everybody else was kind of just dicks, and I didn't like them at all. Anyway, so that's all you got for trivia? Is that it?
That's it. I didn't have much.
All right. Well, it's more than what we had before we started the show. So actually, probably not. You probably already had that before we started the show. But anyway, did you like this movie?
Not really. I didn't hate it. I didn't. I don't have the hate for it that you have, but I don't think I necessarily like it. I don't know that I'll watch it again. It wasn't very good.
Okay, so don't mistake my despair for hatred. I feel like this movie had good bones, and it could have been something better if they had just maybe followed a couple of the paths a little differently. And maybe not cast Angelina Jolie. I think that was really Angelina Jolie. And then this paper chase with the note that turns out to be a big old nothing, right? The note is just nothing. I get it. Oh, the note's not. I'm sure that the writers and the director will probably have something to say about that. They'll probably say something like, well, the note's unimportant. It's the journey or something. That's what you're trying to figure out, is it's the journey of this, of Angelina Jolie's character. But I didn't feel for Angelina Jolie's character at all. I didn't feel for her at all. She didn't seem like she was really even that broken up about it. Right. Even when she's crying, she has that same look on her face all the time. She's another kind of like Kristen Stewart type actress where or what's that dude from Deadpool? That one dude that I just can't stand, TJ Miller, who like his expression never changes. He's like a zombie reciting lines. And Angelina Jolie is the exact same thing. She always has the exact same like bemused expression on her face. She always looks bemused while she's crying. She looks bemused. And I'm like, I'm not buying this. If you're going to sit there and look like you're smirking at the same time that you're crying, I'm sorry, that's not going to work for me. But I would say I don't like this movie. I don't hate it, as you seem to think I do, but I don't like it. That's for sure. It did have some interesting parts in it. There were things that I liked. The sheriff and his wife were high points. I thought the hitmen were likable, but the motivations are all screwy. What are we doing next again?
All right. Next week, we are going to cover No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men. We're going to head back to the Wild Wild West with Tommy Lee Jones and Javier Bardem. Oh, is it Javier Bardem? Yeah, it's Javier Bardem. Yes. Yeah, so we'll do that. We'll see you guys next week on the couch.
Thank you for listening to A View from the Couch. We value your feedback. Please consider leaving us a review on Podbean, iTunes, or your preferred podcast listening app.
You can reach us on Facebook by searching at A View From The Couch, on Twitter at @view_couch, or by emailing us at aviewfromthecouch@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening. Bye.
See ya.